Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts, Auckland's comprehensive art show, brought to you every Sunday night at Planet FM 104.6 or live streamed at planetaudio.org.nz. Sorry, we were just having a good chat and I didn't realise the song was ending, so that was a bit rushed. I'm sorry, listeners. But that was so, like, anything you did that as well, like that autopilot.
No, this is your signature fades. They don't exist. It's hard cut. Love it.
Thanks, Eddie. I feel like that,
you know,
was a compliment.
It's slowly. I'm slowly growing to it. I didn't like it at the beginning, but now I know when that happens, George is hosting Kick Arts, and so it's worth
it. That's really funny. It's because I'm a bit, like, we were talking about this earlier. Like, I'm a bit relaxed.
Yeah,
I'm just a bit. It's like I just don't even think about it.
Yeah,
but at first there were lots of hard cuts just because I was so anxious. I was like,
yeah,
and now I'm like,
and now it's like your signature.
Thanks.
It should be Georgia Hard Cut Parker.
Thanks.
Look at that.
Thanks,
that
Eddie.
Should be your radio name.
Thanks, Eddie. Hard cut. That's good. One time Swidditch came into the radio station and they gave me a nickname, like a rapper name, the Plug.
The Plug.
Yeah, which sounds not great.
I like The Plug.
Yeah, it's because the idea was that, like, I was, like, because I work for lots of different venues and I do lots of different things, and the idea was that I could, I was the man that can get you stuff.
Mm. I did not know that was how you pronounced Swit. I thought it was Swit, and I called them Swit for the longest time, but thank you for... I feel enlightened, yeah. Oh my god.
That's so funny. I saw them play last night as a part of the Aroha Nui Urus at Spark Arena.
Oh, beautiful.
They were really good. They're really good. I'm going to play a couple of acts tonight, actually, who performed last night, but actually just it's a coincidence, because what I'm actually wanting to talk about a little bit tonight is the Tate Music Awards, which is happening on Tuesday. So this is the Independent Music Awards. So these are... for artists who get judged on an album that they've released over the past year, and it's more about kind of the craft and the musicianship of the album rather than the amount of radio plays that it's had, which is it's my favourite music awards of all the music awards, and there's a bunch of absolutely incredible artists that have been nominated for that, so I'm going to be playing some music from that tonight throughout. So that's something to look forward to if you like any kind of music. Some indie music, there's some electronic, there's some... What genre would you call Marlon Williams?
Ooh,
Elvis-esque.
Yeah.
It's smooth.
Solely bluesy, kind of.
Yeah, it's smooth, it's nice. He's great. I reckon he's going to win.
Oh.
Because he won the Silver Scroll last year as well. I don't see how he could not win. But then again, actually, I've listened to the album a few times and it's a bit samey. Whereas if you listen to like Alien Weaponry, they've been nominated with their album too. And the album is so diverse. It's got so many different elements to it. So actually, yeah, that's who I would like to win. But anyway, I was actually going to leave that for later on in the show in case people were wondering, and now I've just told everyone.
Now everyone's going to stop listening.
So there you go. All right, I better introduce the people that I'm talking to, so everyone knows. We have got a super exciting episode tonight. We've got, I think we're like, we're a cozy amount of people. It's quite warm in here. It's quite good.
Hot people are in the room.
Welcome to the show. Someone who we talk about a lot on the show as just being generally fantastic as a part of the Kakats whānau. That is Marianne.
Yes, hello.
Welcome. What are you going to be talking to us about tonight, apart from just general comments on things?
Just having opinions and being loud in general. I'm here to support Natasha Lee this evening, who is our wonderful writer for Fresh Off the Page, but I'm also here to just talk about upcoming projects and exciting things and just, you know, my life in general, because everyone is so interested. But yeah,
I'm interested.
Yeah, I know you are. That's why I'm here.
For quite a while, I was doing date reviews every time I came in, and that was quite good. I don't think anyone really cared, but I felt the need to share.
Ready? I cared. I asked 1,000 times to update me, but then it stopped.
Yeah. What happened there, Georgia?
Well, there was a series of boyfriends,
and
it's
settled.
Like it starts to get a bit like reviewing.
Well, she's gonna get married.
Huh? It was more interesting when those reviews. Well, I'm not gonna get married.
Oh no, it's not you. Sorry, I'm starting to get confused now.
I think that it was more interesting when like I was taking people to theatre. Like if I had I was going to review something, I'd also take a date and I would review the theatre and review the date.
Oh no!
And there were some shockers. Yeah,
the shows or the dates? Both.
Both. There was one guy that I went to a show with, and we went to a comedy show, and we were laughing at different jokes.
Oh god!
And like I was laughing like, yeah, like there would be jokes like about white privilege, like about how white privilege is a thing, which like of course it is, and I would be laughing because they were funny. And then he would not be laughing because he was offended.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, awkward. This is not going to work out.
Oh, my God. What a good way to, like, you know,
screen people out. Yeah.
It really was. It was so awkward, like, because I was so aware that we were laughing at totally different things.
Mate, and then at the end of the show, you'd be like, that was such a good show, but unfortunately this is not working out.
Yeah. Show 8 out of 10. Day 2 out of 10.
That is, like, the best form of, like, Tinder process. Mm. Like, you know, Tinder to the theatre to...
It's like a fancy, you know, when you sit at a table and you... What is it called?
Speed dating.
Oh, yeah. Fancy speed dating.
Okay, but I just have to say, that's really expensive. Like, theatre's not cheap, team.
But that's why you are on
But if it's subsidised by the, like, a venues get onto
like
it,
by Tinder.
Subsidise it.
Yeah.
We could be onto something
My
here.
God, Tinder should fund theatre... artist to date. Theatre match.
Oh, you have a lot of sponsor. Tinder, Grindr, you know.
Yeah.
But not Grindr, I don't know if it's
Bumble.
Very for dating.
No.
It's yeah. more for
Bumble.
All the stuff.
But also you've got theatre companies who might help sponsor you
yeah.
like publicity,
yeah.
you know.
You could do like buy one, get one deals with tickets.
Yeah.
you have like at the movies like the Child Night or the Woman's Night.
Oh,
and then
night.
You can have the Date Night. And then, you know, you have a combo where you give as well a little champagne or something like that to just move the edges.
I'm writing this down.
Steal the idea. Steal the idea.
It's all right.
I want 20%, okay?
Yeah.
All right, during the next song break, let's come up with like a full-on plan.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it needs a name. Although, what you had a good one just before. Theatre Match.
Theatre Match. Yeah.
Theatre Match.
Yeah.
Why not? Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Succinct.
Yeah. Go to the theatre, see if you
find your match.
Found your match.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. It's good.
And then you review. Review the
And match. Then come on and review.
And you could do as well two dates at a time. One on the left and one on the
right. Oh, no, you could do act one, act two. If it's two halves, act one with somebody else and act one with
I've actually...
And then at the end you decide who you want to like.
Have
Georgia.
I've done that kind of.
during
Fringe a couple of years ago. No, I just... Because, you know, during Fringe, like it's like... The best way to fringe, I reckon, is to see like multiple different shows in
on the same night.
Night.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So I just like I went with one person to see one show, and it was somebody else to see the other show.
And you know what? Because creatives are so freaking busy, that's like the best way to like do your theatre research and also get your romantic life.
Multitasking.
I know you are a genius. I'm gonna. Why did I? Guys,
yeah, but you
was
have
a
an
game
advantage.
Changer.
I cannot multitask, so I would be like. Yeah, screwed.
It's the only way I can multitask.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, I feel like it's also just the best way to cut out the BS, you know? You're like, if we have the same principles, we totally. Would enjoy the same, you know, jokes or shows. Or, you know, if I take them to a hardcore talks about angry brown people and the person next to me is like, ugh, I'm like, sis, you gotta leave. You know, like, easy. Cutthroat, but easy. But that's what the industry is, right?
Also, on that note, you mentioned before... Fresh off the page.
Yes.
For those who... But for those listeners that don't know what Fresh Off the Page is, what is Fresh Off the Page?
Fresh Off the Page is a monthly play reading done by Proudly Asian Theatre Company, and it is free for everyone. All is welcome. Every sense of diversity is welcome to come see the shows. And this year we've reinvented Fresh Off the Page to fit and cater and also help develop emerging and fledgling writers. Some are also already established, but it's just a platform for people to play with their work, to definitely get creating on more contemporary Asian work in the New Zealand industry. Because, I mean, personally for me, you know, you can only complain so much about not having enough of, you know, types of work or not having enough Asian works or not having enough people of colour work, so why not create a platform to hold that? And in that way, it's a two-way street where we're helping the writers, but at the same time the writers are essentially growing the community that we're all working so hard to make a, you know, change in. So yeah, and it's free, y'all. Like, I don't understand. Yes, it is free, and I don't understand why people don't make the most of free shows, because I am all over that buzz.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, and you know what I've done this month?
More money for drinks for your day.
Exactly. But this is the thing, though. So this month I've introduced having Fresh Off the Page become a ticketed event, because normally before it was free, people could just stroll in, walk in, and, you know, there'll be a play reading for them, and they'll have a seat. But now we've done it ticketed through Eventbrite, shout out. And people have panicked. It was full, like, sold out. Sold in a sense that, you know, everyone booked out the show, like, 2 weeks before the show.
Do you find, just as a logistic question, because that was something that occurred to me with the Aroha Nui shows, that a lot of people will be buying tickets just to, like, as a donation, and they're not actually coming to the show. Although, to be honest, Spike Arena was absolutely jam-packed last night, so I don't think that happen. do you get nervous that might happen, that people might get a ticket and then have something else come up that night, or...?
Yes, and you know what I've done? I told... I've been in touch with Basement Theatre, who's been amazing at hosting us every month.
Shout out, Basement.
Yeah, so what I've done is I've been, like, keeping in touch with our attendees to say that if they can't make it, to share their ticket, and so I can release it again for public.
Awesome.
And then I've also told Basement Box Office that there'll be a waiting list, so if people who want to get, you know, lucky and find a seat, when it comes to 6:30 and people at the end, there's a spare seat, people who have shown up and actually wanting to be there, it's first come, first serve, and I'll work my way down that waiting list.
Totally.
And I don't want to do, like, a waiting list, like, via email or anything, because people put themselves on the waiting list, and if they're not there, it ruins my whole system, and I'm all about my system, you know what I mean? It's here to support our writers and the new work that they've created, and we just got to respect their time and be there on time.
Great when system.
When I was in Cologne...
Where is that?
In Cologne, in Germany.
Okay.
I lived there for a little while. And they have a beautiful music halle. It's all built wood and it's circular, and usually the orchestra or the choir is in the middle, and all the people are around and had this beautiful acoustic. And they would have, you always pack jam, but there is always no show up because, you know, some people just buy tickets, but they don't show up. And they would have a bell. They would ring a bell, ding, 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 and that's the last time people can come. And so whoever has not come, all those tickets get released again.
Yes.
And then a student, because I was studying in Cologne, I would get a ticket for 7 marks, Deutsche Mark, which at the time was like $7. And it would be like, you know, a ticket. Sometimes it would be last row, really far away, and sometimes it would be first row. and it was just amazing.
That is so
and
cool.
Just the support to let as well poor students be able to attend to these concerts. And it's a great system. And when the bell rings, no one can go in, no one can go out. It's all closed down. If you are late, well, too bad.
Exactly.
You are late.
That's a good system.
Don't you hate when somebody's late and they start walking in front of you and it's just now. We need to bring in some German, some German organization.
But also, I'm like, there's this stereotype that Filipinos are always, they go on Filipino time, like they're always late. I'm a Filipino and I'm never late. I don't believe in that system. I believe in respecting people's time and showing up and being present. And yeah, like it angers me when people think their lack of punctuality is an asset. It's not.
But it depends where you are, because like in Argentina, for example, when they say you meet us at 2 o'clock, it means 3 o'clock. But that's something cultural, so you
get used
to it.
I think we got that from you.
But, so you need to know where you are. Yeah, I'm not the most punctual one. When I go, I respect, if I go and I'm too late, then, you know, I'll wait till the break. It's my fault. You know, it's my fault. I'm not going to bother somebody else. Or
that's
you
why
know,
I love
say,
shows that are like lockout.
Yeah, I know. Know? Yeah, this, and that's fair, you know. And if I would be late, I would say, yeah, my fault, you know. Mm. I'm locked out.
Anyway, hey guys, what's the date today?
Today is the 14th.
So, Natasha, your fresh off the page reading is in 3 days.
Yes, it is. It's on Wednesday on the 17th.
How are you feeling about that? That's pretty soon.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited, actually. No, it's really good, because I felt like about a week ago I was very anxious, being like, oh my God, it's going to be a disaster, I'm going to hate it, and blah, 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 blah. But it feels good. No, it feels good now. I've done a rewrite, which is really helpful. I've done a second draft.
Is that what's shifted the news?
I think so, yeah. And also having my dramaturge, Ben Henson, and like a couple of other close friends read it, and being like, it's not shit. It's made me feel a lot better as well.
I've read it. It's not shit.
Oh, so good to hear. Thank you.
Had you, just quick point of process. I'm doing a little triangle with my hands. Point of process.
We're all copying, yes.
Which is, how do you, Marianne, select the people that are going to be, like the writers that are going to be doing Fresh Off the Page? Do you read the scripts first?
No. So, actually, this script didn't exist till when? Like, maybe January?
Yesterday.
Well, okay, so how it started was last year, Fresh Off the Page. The process was go find contemporary Asian playwrights and works from overseas and in New Zealand. But then we decided, you know, there is a need to support writers, and, you know, because we need to nurture the people that are telling our stories. Getting nods from Ahi, yes. But yeah, and then we did a call out end of last year to see who are the people who want to work and who want to get the job done and who want to share their story. And Natasha was one of those people that we received, I think, about 37 applications, and we could only take 10. And it was a matter of like, who could deliver, who was ready, what stories have we not heard of before, what stories do we need to support. And essentially it's just
I think 10 spots is enough for that.
Well, it's one every month.
Yeah,
so we've got
to hold
December.
On to all of those things that you're wanting to include, though, like
exactly.
All those different stories. Like, 10 is
great. It's a round
variety.
Number. Yeah. And also, like, there is a, you know, there's a show, there's a play reading in December. I don't know if this is true, but, you know, it could not exist right now. But in, you know, 6-5 months' time, it's a show that could be ready for production that, you know, could save lives, you know? Like, I'm getting really passionate, guys.
Natasha, did you know at that stage when you applied what your story was going to look like? Has it changed quite a lot?
It has changed quite a lot, actually, yeah, which I mention, and which has become a part of the show now, which is really fun. It's quite meta, which is... Mm-hmm. But yeah, when I first pitched it, I've been thinking about the kind of general provocation I'd thought about for quite some time, and it was kind of brewing and kind of like, you know, sat with it and kind of thought about it. And actually ended up, it's absolutely true, I ended up, that application that I wrote, I was pretty plastered on crate day. I said it there on crate day.
Oh my gosh,
and I was just like,
that's hilarious.
which, I didn't actually read the application until the day after, and I'm like, oh, that's actually not bad. Which was a lot of fun. But yeah, I wrote it because it started off as being quite like an angry piece, I guess. We were like, grr, yeah, like angry women of colour, blah, doing stuff, which is great, of course. And like, there is a need for that as well. But it was interesting. Yeah, that was kind of how that started. But as I went, as I started writing this piece, I was kind of like, is this really what I wanted to bring to the conversation? Mm-hmm. And so it kind of shifted in that way. So yeah, I guess at the time I did not know that I would be writing this piece that I have now, but I think that's a good thing. I think it was a good thing in the development of what was in the heart of the piece itself.
Mm. Are you intending to put the piece on as a play as well, or at this stage it's just the reading?
I would love to. I mean, like, if someone would like to produce it.
I'm
listening.
Yeah, no, I would love to. I was talking about this as well, kind of like I have at the moment I've kind of got the idea that it's like part of a trilogy or a series, which I don't know if it's been mentioned yet, but the name of the play is How to Be a Great White Man, and I was thinking
great
about
name.
Doing, thank you
it's bold. I like it. I'm sold.
Thank you. It's pretty.
I had a number of white friends who were like, oh,
I know, which I'm, I was like,
I'm like, Bush, you need to be there. Come on.
I don't think, like, with the actual content itself, I don't think it's not, like, angry or, like, confrontational in that sense. Like, it is generally about how I, as a teenager, really wanted to be, like, a bunch of great white men. Mm. Like, I wanted to be Byron, I wanted to be Tesla, I wanted to be, like, Schubert at one point because I was a fucking nerd. Sorry, can I swear?
You've got eight more minutes.
So, yes. Amazing.
It's in context. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Beep.
And yeah, so it wasn't, I felt like it wasn't actually, like, it's genuinely about how I wanted to be a great white man. So yeah, when people are like quite angry about it, I'm like, it's not meant to be 100% confrontational.
It's juicy.
But yeah. But anyway, I have since then thought like, oh, I could do like, how to be a slut and like how to disappoint your parents is my favorite one.
Wow. Yeah. I'm so sold. This sounds so good.
But it's a series. It's all like in the same kind of like language and like theatrical style, but just different like hot takes.
So that is that the kind of, that's a story arc, is about the people that inspire the white men that inspired you when you were a teenager?
I think it was more about the kind of psychology behind why I just find it really interesting that I, as like a young woman who I was quite, like, I feel like I was much more well-read as a teenager than I am now. I was a lot smarter. Like, yeah, I was aware of, like, lots of, like, amazing, like, you know, women who changed history and, like, you know, people of colour who changed history and stuff like that. Like, these figures that we don't think of as, like, you know, like, the people who actually, like, I think there's this idea that, like, this is an actual theory by, like, Thomas Carlyle that history is shaped by, you know, certain people, certain individuals who have, like, amazing charisma or strength or, like, intelligence, and these people change the course of history. And they just happened to be white men. Yeah. And this is just like, you know, it's not, like, a racist thing. It just happened to be these white dudes, and they're the ones who changed history.
It just happened to be that some people's history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, only these men who, you know, happen to be like born into like quite well off families who afforded them great educations in Europe. Yeah. And they're just the ones who happen to change history.
And had role models that looked
and had
like
role
them.
Models that looked like them and stuff like that, and had a platform. And I found it really interesting that I gravitated towards, I was so obsessed with it. Like, I just absolutely, I learned to tie a tie four different ways. I learned how to tie a bow tie. I learned how to tie an ascot. I like attempted. I genuinely attempted to memorize.
Wait, what?
A double wings,
you can tie a tie more than one way.
Yes, you can. This is absolutely. This is a possibility. You can do this.
I only know two ways. Oh my gosh!
You have a tie. At least you have the Windsor knot. Is three times. You have the single Windsor, the double Windsor.
Yeah. Those are the two I know.
You know,
there's more than that.
Yeah, there's more than that.
This is absolutely true. There is a knot.
Do they
look
different?
Yes, they do. I mean, like, arguably, but you can do like fancy ones where, like, instead of having like a normal like triangle thing, you have like the back of it showing, so it's kind of like fancy stuff. Like the Eldridge is a really,
I don't like it.
One that people
are going to start wearing ties, guys.
Yeah,
it's one of the type of tie you're wearing, because they're skinny tie, they're fat tie. You cannot really do a triple Windsor with a fat tie, because you're going to have a knot.
Too
that
wide.
Is
that's ridiculous. That's outrageous.
Well, if you have a white face, maybe it's going to be helpful, because it's going to make
it
look skinnier. A bit skinnier.
It'll shape you up.
Yes. But it's really interesting. I'm always fascinated how, yeah, how freaking white men, and I'm one of those, have been so, and because of, you know, the power they had in the past, they are so influential. And I'm sad that now that, you know, the power is kind of shifting in a way that you have knowledge everywhere. But still, you know, this white supremacy, sorry to use this word, but it's true, it's still there. And I was watching, you know, one of these videos on I don't remember, Facebook or on YouTube, about this woman saying, you know, there is one race at the end, you know. Because if you take extra ray, we all look the same, right?
X-ray.
We all look the same.
There was absolute biological proof as well.
I don't understand why, you know, people are getting so upset about the color of the skin. It's just pigmentation.
It makes me angry.
Yeah, You know, it makes me angry too. I hope that, you know, with technology, a lot more of white men are going to move towards the thing that, you know, we don't see difference anymore. We should respect everybody.
Visibility, I think, is so important in that discussion as well, and making sure that, like, you know, that idea of role models, and, like, it's so interesting to me that, like, something that I don't think I've ever said out loud before, but, like, this little insecurity that I have that as a woman I can't be funny because I'm a woman, men are funnier than women, and that, but it's so socialized, because it's like, okay, like, if a man says something and I say it and we're saying exactly the same thing, it's like, by default, what they're saying is funnier than, you know, it's just like this little weird insecurity that I have in my head because I'm socialized into it. But the idea of, like, I think visibility is so important around that, because that's what's been role modeled to me just through society, and going and seeing, like, incredible female like comedians, or just spending time with women that are so funny, and, like, reminding myself that that's a thing, is like, helps.
Yeah, well, I think this is the best part for me to bring up what I was so angry before I came to the show. I'm gonna do it, guys.
Let's have an angry show.
So, yeah. Well, it's more just, I'm over it. Like, so there was this Filipino whitening product commercial
that
I saw. Yeah.
For
your skin.
For your skin.
Yes, because believe it or not, we get told that our skin color is not the right color, and it pisses me off. Is it 8:30? Not yet. 2 minutes.
Yeah. This will last too long.
Band-aids.
Oh, don't even give me, like,
although,
nude color.
That's no one's skin.
It is like a cream that then you wash off, or it's really changing.
It's like face wash, body lotion, soap, everything. Okay, so yeah, and the way this whitening product was advertised, it was like, apparently it was like all in Tagalog, and it was like, is it true that, you know, only white people get more chances to sit on a bus, or, you know, 3 out of 5 fairer skinned people get more opportunity, like, you know, that kind of crap. And then the response of the ad was that, don't worry, we've got the right product for you, here's a whitening. And then it just made me so angry, because growing up, I was always told that, you know, don't be out in the sun, you know, while, like, the kid who was predominantly a tomboy who liked playing out in the sun, enjoying the sunshine, getting sweaty with my kuyas, my cousins, playing basketball. That was, like, the fun thing, and that's what I remember the most about my childhood. And, you know, and it's just, like, it's actually so toxic what we're teaching the, you know, the future generation of, you know, being less because of the pigment on your skin, and the darker you are, the less you can achieve. You know, essentially, I'm like, no, the browner I am, or the browner you're not, it shouldn't matter. You know, like, I should be allowed to do whatever a fair-skinned human being, you know, can do. Because it's BS. Visibility is so important, because, yeah, like, I grew up thinking that I couldn't be in the performing arts industry because I was too dark, because I was the dark horse, I had the black beauty, essentially, or whatever. But you know what? I'm in the performing arts industry now, and I tell you what, my productivity is not defined by how tan I get in the summertime, or how less tan I am in the wintertime. And I could go on, I'm sorry.
The thing that makes me Korean as well is that, you know, you go into Europe and then you see, you know, it's summer, go out and tan. So it's kind of double standard, mm-hmm. right? It makes no sense. It's like everybody should be mm-hmm. defined mm-hmm. for who they are mm-hmm. and not for how they look like.
Mm. And it's a bit like it's okay for you to have brown skin if you're white.
Yeah, yeah, that's like, the message that right. sadly gets yeah. out, and it's just BS. I'm sorry. It's
and
like,
all of my white friends, I'm like, man, I wish I had yeah. your skin color. Yeah. And then I hear all my Filipino friends all like, whoa, like, you're too dark. Shut the F up, Sharon.
but I'm really hopeful that it's changing, you know. This is two generations. The next generation is going to be late for us, probably, but... I hope that everything changed, that, you know, not just by the color of the skin, but sexuality and,
hell yes.
you know, everything, that we shouldn't define people by their cover, but get to know them
exactly.
first and then decide, yeah, somebody I could, mm-hmm. you know, build up a relationship yeah. because we have a lot of things in common and it mm-hmm. works and it's great. Or like, no, actually, you know, it doesn't really. But. You know, not judge people before you get to know them a little bit.
You know what people should be telling other people about their skin? Tell them to put on sunscreen.
Yeah.
Someone commented that on my Facebook. Mm. Thanks, Sean Kisha. Love your work. It's true. Put on sunscreen. Doesn't matter if you get tan. As long as you don't skin cancer, everyone will love you regardless. Mm.
Ahi, you work a lot within the arts community. Is that something that's quite... important to you, or something that you consider, like visibility?
I think visibility is kind of marked my career in the last kind of 5-10 years. With everything I do, I'm always actively looking to kind of amplify and highlight the voices that are often not heard, and kind of shifting that kind of power that exists within arts organisations and in curational kind of processes that allows for voices of difference, marginalised voices to be seen and heard.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, there's a beautiful kind of sitting amongst all of us who all come from different places, and I guess in a way, when we look at art in the mainstream of the world, and again, I feel like as artists, we're marginalized anyway. We're often struggling mm-hmm. to find value when it's competing with other things like sports or health. And so, in a way, it's so difficult what we do. But then within that sector of art, there's also certain privilege that's held by the people that have dominated the conversations for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And so often when I get to travel overseas, like to UK and to other countries, they've had, I guess, more development programs or more initiatives, and you can see that being reflected on what's presented on stage and on television. Mm. It kind of gives me hope because it's working elsewhere and we can work towards it. And I've seen that shift happen in the last yeah. 3 to 4 years. It's been monumental. Like, I mean, this year's Fringe Festival, if you look at the program, it was the most diverse I've seen it be
yeah.
in the time that I've been in Auckland. And I mean, if you look at New Zealand Fringe from Wellington, that's been around for a long time. So, of course, the yeah. program's a lot more reflective of the city. But, yeah, that's been a big part of my kaupapa, a big part of my, I guess, reason why I yeah. work as an artist, is to create platforms and spaces, and also my own work to tell the stories that are not often being presented.
Totally. It's been my experience as well, as somebody who works in the music industry, that it's becoming the norm that... it's becoming the norm that you choose in your lineups and the parts that you reflect about your programs in terms of social media, etc., in terms of branding, that you're trying to reflect the audience that you want, and you want your audience to reflect just the general population.
Mm.
So, like, one of the programs that I've had a real privilege to work with is Laneway, and like yeah. looking at their local artists this year. It was really diverse, and even like the women's space that we run there, it's been really, really fulfilling helping set up and run that space the last couple of years. We had the first couple of years lots of men coming up to the space saying, "Where's the men's space?" This year we had one man do it, and the really amazing woman that run the space kind of just explained like what it was about, and that it was a space for women and gender non-binary and trans people to come in and have a place just kind of away from the day, and that we kind of consider the rest of the space the men's space just mm-hmm. kind of by default. And he was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Seems reasonable. And yeah. then just went and sat down in the shade somewhere else. And was like, okay, dope. Actually, it took 3 years. And then on the third year, it was like, people were kind of used to it. And I think it is like that thing that it's just like you start to put something out into the universe, and then after a while people realize that that's kind of just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think frequency and the kind of prolific nature of it then normalizes it, you know, like that's why like initiatives like Fresh Off the Page, and I mean that form has shifted in terms of what it presents or who it speaks to, by having that on a monthly basis has kind of grown an audience. So people come with an expectation, but with that expectation now the audience needs is also grown, and they're like, well, we want to hear stories from Aotearoa. We want to know what people are saying here as opposed to the worst stories that are happening in here. So then writers like Natasha can present her work and difference can exist. So totally my buzz.
I just want to say I'm in love with Ahi. That's it.
I think everybody's in love with Ahi, to be fair. Sure. You often get talked about on the show as just being a real cool person. And also, as you talk, I think you've got really great facial hair.
Cheers, thanks. Thanks. So the guy down in Friendship does it for me. There's this beautiful, beautiful Iranian fella. He does it for $5. Anywhere else, it's like $30.
Yeah.
It's really cool. He keeps yelling at his uncle.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so he lines it up and does everything. Oh, so, so often there when I pop down to Point Shed.
$5.
So shout out to I just don't know what the store name is, but yeah.
Oh,
guys,
good $5.
Because whenever I get my undercut done, costs me $30, and it's like you're literally just buzz cutting like half my hair.
But that's as well something that I found out is sexist, and I don't understand. It's like I go and cut my hair, and you know, it's very easy. A one on the side, and then a little bit of pa 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 on the top, and it's getting quicker every time I go because my hair getting thinner and thinner. But I pay, you know, between $12 and $15, and then come a woman, and she has exactly the same haircut as me. And then they have to pay $35. And I'm like, what's
absolutely
the difference? It's like,
I get this much cut off my hair and I had to pay $49.
This is why. I'm
going
to make a shout out.
She did about an inch worth of finger width apart, by the way, because you said this much.
Oh, my sorry. Oh,
that's right. A big edge.
Yeah. Natasha, okay. This is, which I don't know if you guys have heard of, called this is a place called I'm Not a Barber.
I'm not a barber.
And there's a couple of places. I think there's one like downtown. There's one in Eden Terrace. There's one on the shore somewhere. And they charge the same rate no matter what your gender is, no matter like what
you're. Awesome.
They just have a rate. They have it like on a board outside, and that's what you get.
Humans, one haircut, yes.
Exactly. Because that's like human hair. It's not like.
Yeah.
My hair is not gendered.
No.
Mm. Hey, guys, I'm really enjoying this haircut chat, but it's not really arts related. So I think.
Barber are really artists, what they do, and you know, it's part of
I'm genuinely engaged in this chat. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a song from one of the Tate's finalists for this year.
Nice.
I might even play two songs, and we can continue our barber chat.
Thanks, Georgia.
I'm going to go with Jonathan Bree. Can someone tell a joke or something while I like? They've moved the studio around and now I have to like scroll.
Yeah, you have to be
I do have a joke. I've got this is my favourite New Zealand geography based pickup line.
Okay.
Which someone told me and I thought was the funniest thing. And I scored a free ticket to a show because of this.
Ooh. Hey, girl. Are you from the Bay of Plenty? Because tonight you're going to fuck a tardy.
I cannot.
Am I allowed to say that?
You just said that.
Well, it's 8:40, so it's
fine. Okay, I was like, oh, shit. I didn't realize I was allowed to say that. Oh, my God. Someone take the paper.
All right, wow. Dude.
It's fine.
That was hilarious.
I'm so sorry. I apologize. I'm going to tell.
We're chilled out.
We'll make a note on Facebook. Adult only.
Dude, I'm talking about a place.
I just was more expecting like something like what's blue and smells like red paint.
Blue paint.
All right, here's a song anyway.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
Georgia.
Here's a song. It's by Jonathan Bree. He's up for the Tate this week. He's really fantastic. It's called Say You Love Me Too off his album Sleepwalking. I said that like I'm unsure because I'm unsure. Got it.
When I lay
That was Say You Love Me Too. Sorry, Eni. I was trying to do too many things. He was like, as I turned the mic on, Eni went smooth, because my what was the name you gave me before?
Hard cut, Georgia Hard Cut Parker,
because I'm not great with my moving
good,
between
though.
Songs. I was
you can,
about
you can
to
abbreviate
do
a Georgia H.C. Parker.
I was about to do the smoothest transition.
Georgia H.C. Parker. That sounds great.
Yeah, like that was good. Anyway, that was Say You Love Me Too by Jonathan Bree, who is up for the tape this weekend with his album, which is called Sleepwalking. And this is another song by somebody who is up for the tape on... Did I say this weekend? I meant on Tuesday. We're halfway through the show, so I've left all my energy in the first half, and now I've stopped being able to talk. This is... I got The Lonely by Mel Parsons from her album Glass Heart. Did someone just do a sigh? Yeah.
It's a good sigh.
It's a really, really stunning song. I was about to say she's a really solid contender, but the whole list is just incredible. I'll read out the list and maybe play a couple more songs in 20 minutes or so. But in the meantime, this is I Got the Lonely by Mel Parsons.
Another day of feeling slow, looking up, looking down, towards the shore, dreading the way, stuck in the fog. Heavy weight still there in the morning, heavy weight still there in the morning, heavy weight still there in the morning. Blaming you and it's really me. Heavy weight's still there in the morning. 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 I got the lonely, gonna write it all down. I got the lonely birds in town. Get up, get on up. Nobody's gonna fill your cup. Get up, get on up. Nobody's gonna fill your cup. Get up, get on up.
How did you feel about that smooth?
Another trick is you can switch your mic on before you start fading it down, and then you can start talking, so you don't have that extra space of empty space.
I love
in
that
between
people are learning right now.
Ends.
I'm Thank just you. A bit like.
Are you not coordinated?
You know that episode of The Simpsons when Homer gets like really, really obese and he starts wearing a Mew Mew and he can't type?
Yeah.
Because fingers too big.
Yeah.
I'm like that apart from, like, I'm like quite small. You know what I mean?
Jesus.
It's like I have that happen with me. It's just like I can't, like, I'm just a bit uncoordinated.
You know
what I'm trying to
Georgia,
say.
I think you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Marianne.
No worries.
I think I should get a Mew Mew.
A Mew Mew?
A Moo Moo.
Moo Moo.
Mew Mew. Mew Mew.
It's a
Mew
candy.
Mew. What's a Mew Mew?
Mew Mew.
Is a Mew Mew like a brand, like a designer brand?
I don't know
what you were talking about.
Mew Mew is the candy, caramel candy, right?
Oh.
Mew Mew. Yeah, Mew Mew.
Guys, there could be more
like
than
a
one
dress.
Mew Mew.
I'm just not good, like, oh my God, I did the most embarrassing thing a few weeks ago. I went to, like, a few of the vigils, which is obviously a really good thing to do, but for some reason I put an R in the word vigil, and I kept saying to people, like, oh yeah, are you going to any of the vigils?
Amazing.
Like, honestly, for, like, 3 or 4 days until someone told me, they were like, why have you put an R in it? And I was like, what? And they were like, it's vigil. And I was like...
So Virgil is a real word?
Is it?
Virgil's a writer.
Oh, no.
Virgil's a writer.
Maybe you can say, oh, autocorrect.
Yeah.
Always blame it on the autocorrect.
Say something completely different.
Like,
oh, autocorrect.
I have a question. On the Facebook page for Collywood Extra, this is you, is it not?
Yes, it is.
It's this really... Okay, everybody listening...
Oh, God.
Unless you're driving, if you're driving, pull over... Go on your phones and type into your Facebook search bar Collywood with a K, Collywood Extra, so you can see this amazing photo of Ahi.
Yes.
What's happening in this photo?
Okay, so that's me recreating, like, one of our iconic stars from Collywood. So just to give you context, so in India, people know cinema to be renowned for Bollywood, because we've taken that Hollywood term and just kind of claimed it as ours. Collywood comes from South India. So that photo was a photo shoot where I was trying to emulate Rajinikanth, who's, like, the superstar of Indian cinema. And kind of Western equivalent of that would be, like, if Arnie, Chuck Norris... Mel Gibson and Tom Cruise all kind of
were one person.
That'd be him. Because Indian cinema is like a masala. It has everything. It has song, dance, fight, romance, thriller, horror, like every genre thrown in. So this Collywood Extra is basically me creating like a live performance art activation event in Sandringham Reserve on the 4th of May. And the idea is that we're going to get a whole bunch of actors to do a fake film shooting. And so we're going to have actors, dancers, a whole bunch of crew there, and little stations set up so you can turn up, get your headshots done, and have, like, kind of really tacky, kitschy kind of backdrops kind of CGI'd on so you get a photo takeaway. Or you can go into, like, a karaoke van and learn a Tamil song and sing karaoke.
Oh,
or you can go into a makeup room and get, like, a little bit of a makeover. And also there's, like, a little food station that sells, like, Indian and South Indian food. But ultimately... This film can't be made without the participants because they will be the featured extras, sometimes the co-stars. So essentially it's a live performance art with the audience being the star of the show.
This is so fantastic. This sounds amazing.
Cool.
How did you... Was it your idea?
Yeah. It kind of came from the idea that, again, I've been seeing a lot of theatre at Basement and other spaces where... The idea of interacting with the audience or bringing the audience into the story in a very safe, consensual kind of way and using, I guess, charm and magic in a way to just break barriers so we can talk to one another. Often Sandringham is renowned for its you know, amazing South and Indian cuisine. So a lot of people frequent that, but there's this beautiful reserve there and it just kind of begged for more performances to happen in there. And I guess in response to the recent events and the kind of climate that we're in the world when we have some sort of stigma or fear around difference, this is just another way of using art as a way to connect people up, but in a much more fun, accessible, playful way.
Yeah.
I guess talk about our communities, our cultures, but also learn something in the process as well.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds so fantastic. So just for people who are going, oh, my gosh, I absolutely have to go to that. That's on Saturday the 11th of May.
It's actually wrong on the Facebook page. It's actually the 4th of May.
It's not on Saturday. Oh, Oh, no, sorry, excuse me, because that says the rain date.
Yeah, the rain date.
So if it's raining on the 4th, then it's the 11th.
Yeah, and it's free, so you can just cruise in, you can grab a kai from any of the shops around and jump in and watch. If you don't want to take part, you can just be an observer, step back and watch it on there. Cool. Also, if you've never seen a Kollywood film in your life, just go on YouTube and just put in Tamil movies. That's like a whole rabbit hole you can go down. We've been watching.
Would you recommend that? Do you think it would make it more enjoyable on the day?
So, absolutely. Absolutely, because like if you look at classic films, they're so in terms of archetypes, they really kind of honor that. But like, you know, we've got heroes that can fly in the air, shoot a bullet, and catch it in the air, and just jump back into the car. And we've got heroines that can change saris in like 4 minutes, like 25 saris, like, you know, the most inconceivable, incredible feats of I guess cinematic splendor can be achieved in a Tamil film. And I think there's. I mean, I think if you like cinema in general, that magic of storytelling and the idea of bringing a whole village to make something happen, I think you'll love this experience. So come along. It'll be
I think for this movie, the real world is magic. It's always kind of because when I watched the first time, I felt like, what did I just watch? some stuff didn't make much sense. Like you say, you know, they fly and do stuff. But then you kind of, you know, the second time you watch it, you're like, oh, now I get it.
and also I think what's also really fun is that, you know, like often for those who don't work in cinema or don't work in the arts, we see the end product. Part of this is because you get to be part of the filmmaking process. You can see the chaos. And, of course, we've created, like, a whole bunch of actors who will play divas, and you can see the kind of back dramas that happen in there too. So we've got some of the top leading South Asian actors in the city. And it's a cast of 10. We've got about 6 dance crews. Then a community involvement up to about 200 people that's going to be performing at some point in that. So that in itself is such a massive feat.
So cool.
And then I just love it that, you know, most of Auckland can just pop in there and just be a part of this film. That'd be just incredible. It's a fake film, but, you know, you will still be part of the film.
Ah, this is so cool. Hey,
but there is cameras and everything.
Yeah, there
like,
is.
Are there cameras rolling? Are you
we're not filming. Because,
are you
not
filming it?
Well, because we have to ask for consent and give paperwork and stuff like
that.
So, you can see stuff from the feed, but we won't actually record any of the footage.
Okay, yeah. Too
bad. Oh, this could be our first film together.
Yeah.
Great.
You
can brush up on your, you know, Kollywood dance moves, you know. I think you can play the heroine's best friend because the film is set in New Zealand. It's a compelling story about a young woman from India who comes to New Zealand to find herself, and I can't say anymore. So.
But like every actor, I want to play the evil guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I think the evil guy is the most fun thing to play, isn't it?
Well, there's auditions for the dad, the evil guy, the shop owner, and multiple things.
Oh my god.
So, you know, time to unleash your inner acting.
Unleash my evil side.
What about if I want to play the evil guy too?
Oh,
well, we could be the evil twins, George. Well, you already used to have a twin, but you would have a bit of a different twin.
Hey, how about this? What about if we auditioned together like we were one character? Like we could wear a big trench coat.
Or a giant Mew Mew?
Or a giant Mew Mew!
So I'll carry you on my shoulders.
And then we'd be like a really tall person.
Yeah.
With a huge body and a tiny, nice, cute face. That could
this
be interesting.
So cute. I think we're going to do well in this audition.
I know it's free, but where do I put my money?
It's going to be great.
You're throwing out ideas like no one, Georgia. Your brain is...
Yeah, and Georgia, you're the kind of person we need because we need people to help us finish the script and, you know, come up with scenarios for the film. So like,
I'm very practiced at theatre.
Oh,
I'm
wonderful.
This is going to be my opportunity to show everybody what I'm made of, and they're going to be, like, super impressed.
You know what, Georgia, I'm going to go simply because you're going to be there.
Yeah, Georgia, hard cut. It's going to be like...
Starring.
I think I might be in the running for Person of the Year next year because you know how it's the year of Ahi.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Next year could be the
year of Georgia. Yeah. I love it. So it's a big year to beat, though, the next year if it's, you know, going after the year of Ahi. It's a big year.
What does it feel like whole year being
your year?
Your year.
That's
Siobhan would be so stoked. Siobhan Waterhouse started this.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened, but I was in Australia last year, and then, like, I signed up for a whole bunch of gigs, and it just happened that I had a show pretty much every month for the whole year.
Keeping me
so
alive.
They just turned it into hashtag the year of the Ahi, and I was like, great, what comes after the year of Ahi? Because, like, that's what I'm terrified of. But it's really nice to be in a place where I get to, I guess, make the shows and things I've been wanting to make for the last kind of 8-9 years, but it's been a hard struggle to get to that point, and this has kind of allowed me to get there. Yeah,
that's super cool.
Yeah,
you know,
so
it's
does
about
that mean
time.
That I have to do a play every month,
every day?
Every day.
So, but the year of Ahi is still going?
Yeah, so I like, of course, I mean, I'll probably come and talk about each of the shows, but, you know, I've got a show, but, so we've got Hollywood Extra. I'm working on young Natasha's play. I'm directing it this week,
cool.
Which I'm really excited about.
Nice.
Then I've got a show with ATC. Then I've got a commission with Silo. There's a show that we're doing for Auckland Live. It's just happened that nothing happened
dramaturg.
For 4 years. Yeah, it's nothing happened for
what
4 years.
What does that mean?
Dramaturg. Yeah, what is a dramaturg? What do you think a dramaturg does, Natasha?
I think the best way to describe it to, like, people is, you know how, like authors, like book authors, have like editors who are like, oh, have you thought about this and kind of blah blah blah. I think that is like a dramaturg is that equivalent to a playwright,
like someone with a big red pen.
Yes, basically. But also kind of like
necessary though.
Genuinely kind of like looking at like the script as a whole and kind of like a mentor as well. I guess like a guide, like a sage guide.
Sage. What does the word turg mean?
Turko.
Oh, like dramaturg. It's German, I think. Not entirely sure what
do you know
means.
Any?
Well, it's, I think it comes from the Latin, and it's...
Any speaks every language.
No. Dramaturgo, but... Yeah, it's a
that
good
was
question.
Sexy and
I don't know what turgo comes from.
What does it mean?
But we can probably dramaturgo and then
let's look it up.
Drama. Autocorrect is kind of
what that means. Yeah,
dramaturgo.
The description is probably
the description
is
behind
now. So,
hey, Inni.
Yes.
Can you teach us how to say year of the Ahi in a different language?
L'anno di Ahi.
Oh, that's not so
cool.
Say that again.
L'anno di Ahi.
I feel a new hashtag coming in. What about in Swiss?
Ah, there is no Swiss language. I go back to school, Georgia.
What is
Romansh? Is it Romansh? Was that what?
Romansh, yes. Romansh is one of the Swiss languages, fourth Swiss language. But in Switzerland, you speak Italian, French, German, and Romansh. But Romansh is a bit like 10,000 people speak it.
Oh, so it's quite
kind of dying.
Do you speak
dying.
It?
No, but I can understand a bit of it because it's a mix of of the other three languages. It is kind of the Swiss language because it's only spoken in Switzerland.
Yeah, that's totally what I've meant when I
yeah. Good on you. Well, but you know, you have to, when you talk to a Swiss, it's a lot of people make a mistake because they speak German or they speak French or they speak Italian. Oh, you are Italian. No. You point there. I'm Swiss Italian, which is very different than just being Italian. Wow. Because they say, and this is a comedian that says, Switzerland has the best of the Italian, the best of the German, and the best of the French, all living in a little nation, all friendly living and democratically, you know, living.
That's such
great
self-esteem for a country to have.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a small country, and you know, surviving outside the EU is not that easy. But you know. And when Brexit happened, I know that a Swiss delegation went to London and said, if you need help, we can show you the ropes how to live outside the European Union. But the thing is, you know, it's 20 odd years, and Switzerland has been outside, and, you know, they made all these bilateral contracts for the UK. It's going to be very, very difficult to achieve that. But we'll see. Sorry to put in some politics. It just came out.
No, it was interesting. Interesting. You're an interesting person, Inni.
But, you know, thank you. That now make me blush. But yeah, if you can do it in German, das I would say das Eier. That's German. L'année de Ahi. That's French.
How do you say it?
Which language do I like?
What about you? What do you prefer?
How do you say Tagalog?
Ang taon ni Ahi. I think. Mm. Oh my gosh.
That's quite similar because in Indonesian it's tahun instead of taon.
Yeah, taon ni
Ahi. This is great. I'm loving this. All these ways of
this. I know. Very cool.
How do we say it in English?
Ahi. Yes. Just, I haven't got a good segue, guys. Short and sweet.
Yes.
What's happening?
So, Short and Sweet is celebrating its 10th year. technically, if we did the math, it's actually the 11th year, but the first year was a pilot year, so we've decided to celebrate the 10th year this year. So we're going big. Short and Sweet, for those who are not familiar, is like a short-form theatre festival that is held in September. It's an opportunity for writers, directors, choreographers, independent theatre companies to present a 10-minute work. That's the only criteria. You create the show, and the festival does the marketing, publicity, and the production, and the technical support. So for those who are wanting to like get their foot in, we take submissions as a writer, a submission as a director, or you can come in as an independent theatre company, or if you want to submit a script, it goes to the international festival, so your work can be performed or produced any of the other festivals all around the world, or you can come in as a dance company, enter in that. So numerous works that have won awards have gone on to Tempo, Fringe, companies like White Face Crew, Proudly Asian Theatre, that went on to do Call of Sparrows. So like a lot of artists and makers, they test their works out as a 10-minute form and then extend it into longer works. But basically it's a platform or it's a pathway for emerging or even established artists to just come in and just have fun. And the reason why I love the show is kind of like Yamcha of theatre. You kind of turn up one night and you can see 10 to 12 different works. And, you know, if the work is terrible, it's okay because it'll be done in 10 minutes. You move on to the next one. But the most exciting thing about it for me as a curator is that I deliberately put works and forms that people wouldn't go to together. So as a way, when you come to see your friends, you may perhaps see a work that you may never take a chance to go see, and hopefully that cross-pollination opens us up to different forms and
that's
different
voices. That's so important. I got a bit fanchild because a couple of weeks ago, I forget his surname, but Tyler, who was performing in Astro Man, Astro Boy?
Tyler
Astro
Man.
Corkery.
Yeah. He came in, and I got like super fanchild because I once saw him in a rap.
I am mad at you.
Yeah. Rap play. And I got some comp tickets, I think, to go along and review it. And I was like, okay, this would be something new, like something I haven't seen before. Well, I was expecting not to like it at all. I think it's my favorite piece of theater I've ever seen. And he was just so incredible. And I was like, from that moment on, I've been like, go and see just anything. Just go and see anything, because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I love the idea that you can have a often, bunch of stuff all together.
And theatre is, like, so expensive. So if you don't know the artist or you know the form, it's a massive punt to make. And this is a nice, simple way that you can go. It's really affordable. They're pretty much the same price as movie tickets. They want to make it accessible for young people and for grown-ups as well. But yeah, it's just a nice little way of just getting a whole array of different works. So submissions have just opened. So if you're a writer or an aspiring director, if you've never directed before, we run workshops. Mm-hmm. And the way it works is that if you say you submit as a director, we'll give you a whole bunch of scripts. And then all the people that register as actors will turn up to an audition. You can pick the actors from that. And throughout the whole process, we're there to support. So it's just a nice way. It's like a gateway in to presenting works.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm writing my submission right now.
If you go to the website, I'm Short and Sweet, not to be confused with Shortland Street. Every time I tell my mum, she gets so excited. She's like, you're doing Shortland Street. I'm like, no, mum, and Sweet. I need to work on my diction. I get it. But still, one day Shortland Street will happen, mum, I promise you. Mm. But listening. For the time being, you know.
Shortland Street, if you're listening.
Yeah. But I'll
be the year of Ahi.
Yes. Like, it's not complete until I get Shortland Street. You know, South Asian mums are never happy. You know, like, the glass is always half empty. But if you go to the website, there's you can register your interest. In there, awesome. So.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Can you write something and also be in it?
Yeah, absolutely. So sometimes people come as a company, so which means that you've written the work. It might be a solo work, like maybe this response about the rage rant that you just had in there. Maybe you want to test it out as a 10-minute show and then extend it on. You know, like there was a beautiful show last year that whose young name I can't remember, it's called Brown Asian but Brown, and
it
won all the awards.
Oh my gosh,
and now she's got funding to extend it into full length solo work, so it's gone from a 10 minute into a big thing.
I did see that. I was like, fully Tota Huyamahi girl.
So it's on a Tapac in Western Springs. Season's in September. I know it's a fair bit away, but I'm here to plug that submissions are open. So if you're a choreographer, dancer, actor, writer, director, anywhere creatively formed, inclined, come to the short little festival.
Cool.
And there is always that show that you're like, okay, but there is always that one.
There's always that one show that everyone's like, remember that?
Hey, that would be a great thing to do on a date, eh? To go and see
Be like, which one did you like?
Because then you know you've got something to write to talk about. You know afterwards that
You're still talking about this.
And also, like, what I forgot to say is that for those who don't know the format, like, when you come and see all the shows, the audience gets to vote for the show that they
pick. I love voting.
And so there's judges that are voting. There's prizes. There's cash prizes to be won. $500, seasons.
I want $500 for going and voting.
But also, as an audience, it's a great date option. Because you can go, hear this. You can come to Point Chef, get your beard done, go to Mr. Spriggs, watch the show, have a date, and then,
Eddie and I are going to go on a date.
Yeah, let's go. I'll come with you.
So you guys are going to come to Hollywood Extra in 2 weeks' time, and then you're going to come to Show and Sweet on a date.
It's going
to
be short and sweet meat, or like short and meat, or
short and meat.
Short and meat, or I don't know.
Hey,
By the way, I found out what's dramaturg.
Oh, yes.
Oh my God.
Sorry to just... I have to correct. I thought it was from the Latin, but it's from the Greek, actually.
Oh. Makes sense.
And
I was going to say, but...
Yeah. You look at me with those eyes, honestly. You are...
Stole my thunder.
Everything seems to come from the Greek or the Latin.
But drama, we know everything, what drama means.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then Turk, actually, is the word ergon, which means work.
Drama work.
Which the translation of dramaturg in English is actually, they never contained is playwright or dramatist. Did you know it? Dramatist.
The reason that word came up was because I said that he was my dramaturg for my play.
Yeah.
Look at me plugging.
And I love that.
Dramatist. Yeah.
Dramatist.
Honestly, for me though, Ahi's just been there to hold my hand, to help me be brave as another woman of color, as a person of color. It's always nice to be empowered by someone who knows that they are empowered in the creative industry to help lend their voice. And I think that's what this thing is. It's the camaraderie and the solidarity of, we're all the same in our differences, but we should also enjoy all of our differences.
Totally.
Tried to make that sound so much smarter.
No, it sounded profound. That was
beautiful.
That was good. Wait, you just said something really, really beautiful at the
poignant,
beginning of that.
Georgia.
What was it? Camaraderie
and solidarity.
Last night I had the privilege of seeing the Aroha Mai You Are Us show at Spark Arena, and there is one that is going to be on Wednesday in Christchurch. As someone who saw the show last night, I am so excited. I'm also going to be seeing the one on Wednesday in Christchurch. I'm so excited. The show last night was amazing. The one on Wednesday is going to be absolutely amazing. Definitely buy a ticket if you're in Christchurch, or if you know someone in Christchurch and you want to get them a sweet gift, because there's still some.
Are you going to go to Christchurch?
Yeah, I'm going to Christchurch.
You're a traveler.
I need to start telling you these things.
Oh, you're telling me on radio?
Yeah.
That's got the relationship here now, Georgia.
you're
going to go on a date, but you lied to me.
One of the artists who played last night, who was absolutely stunning, who is also... Hey, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this link? What? Who's also up for a Tate?
Yeah.
Marlon Williams? From Christchurch? It's Marlon Williams.
Our brother Marlon.
Yes. Last night he played Make Way for Love, which was really beautiful, but also, I personally prefer What's Chasing You. So I thought I'd play one of the songs, but what one would
Maybe
you prefer?
Play both.
What's Chasing You?
We don't have enough time for both.
Oh. What's so chasing you? Let's go. What's chasing
I reckon.
What's chasing you?
It's great. It's a great song. Anyway,
smooth
this
Georgia.
Is what's chasing you by Marlon Williams. Here you go. What's Chasing You by Marlon Williams. He is up for the Tate this coming Tuesday. Also up for the Tate is the Beths with their album Future Me Hates Me. This is my favourite song off the album. It's got some absolutely breathtaking harmonies about two-thirds of the way in. It is Not Running by the Beths.
Not the other one.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Yenny. Sorry, Yenny. Don't worry. was, not running by the Beth. Was that good?
Yeah. That was amazing.
Cool. I've been, for those who have just joined us, I've been working on my fading in and out. I've only been, you know, co-hosting the show for 3 years, so it's about time that I nailed it. And I have just now.
Yes. You get 10 plus from me.
Thank you.
No, A plus. No, what is in New Zealand?
10
A,
plus. I get 10 plus.
Excellence. ACA Chief of Excellence. Yes.
Thanks, man.
It's about the growth.
Thanks, man. Yeah. That was Not Running by the Beths, who are up for the Tate Award this coming Tuesday with their album Future Me Hates Me. Before that, it was What's Chasing You by Marlon Williams, who's also up for the award. I will just read you the list of all of the nominees, and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, what an incredible list. We've got Alien Weaponry, Avondale Bowling Club, Jonathan Bree, Julia Deans, Marlon Williams, Mal Parsons, Tammy Nielsen, The Beths, Unknown Mortal Orchestra, who, fun fact, have actually won the award before in 2012, and Wax Chattels. So it's an absolutely incredible list. So these are the Tate Music Awards and the Independent Music Awards. So it is for artists based basically on the merit of the album because of the craft of it, the creativity of it, the way that it sounds, rather than whether they've topped the charts or anything like that. Not to say that if someone had topped the charts, they wouldn't be on the list, because Lord actually won with Pure Heroine with the year that came out. What year did that come out? 2015?
No, a couple of years ago.
I feel like it. This one, I was subtly.
Yeah. Thank you for looking
at the era of Google.
Thank you, Google.
What did they do 20 years ago?
Okay,
what did
I'm we getting do? All this weird
books and libraries.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Actually, I've got it. Yeah, it's 2014.
Yeah, you're too fast.
If people are interested, previous winners. So this is the ninth year of the award. So previous winners are Lawrence Arabia, Lady Six, Unknown Mortal Orchestra, SJD. I love SJD. Lord Jacob, don't know who that is. Silicon, Street Chant, Aldous Harding. Aldous Harding won last year, and that is why I began the show with her, which I've realised during the show I didn't actually explain. but I have explained now, so it's fine.
You have to plug in, say, listen to the song, and then you will know what's happened during the show, so I have to listen to the whole show.
Yeah, go listen to the podcast, which will be available Facebook, 5 minutes after the show, in 15 minutes.
You know how we always... Oh, for the people who are listening and they don't know, I am one of the people... Well, I'm the assistant producer of Kick Arts, so my friends who are in the creative industry, holler at me if you want to put your show in Kick Arts. But I just want to say, normally we get... musicians and singers performing live, and I've actually got Natasha here, who's got an excerpt from How to Be a Great White Man.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I do. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely. It is time for shameless promotion, so this is the perfect time for you to give us a bit of a snippet from your piece. So if you wouldn't mind just getting into it, and then when you finish, just tell us where we can see the show, when it's on, where we can get free tickets, because the tickets are free.
Yeah. Well, you can't anymore, really.
Yeah.
You're on the wait list, though, right?
Waiting list.
Okay. Yeah. How about you? Do you perform? Perform. It's in the basement, right?
And I'll follow up with the info.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boom.
All right. This is How to Be a Great White Man. When I was about 14 years old, I decided that I was going to go down in history. I needed a reason to live, a raison d'être, and I decided that mine was to leave a legacy. I was going to find a way to be one of the greats. You know, one of the great men who, through their great intellect, talent, or courage, steered and changed the course of history as we know it. The great men who have managed to do the impossible and achieve immortality by having their names and achievements live on forever in the hearts and minds of man. Modern history is decided by these men, and I decided I was going to become one of them. Anyway, I'm not entirely sure how this happened, but I ended up with a pantheon of great white men. And I desperately wanted to be a great white man, which I understand, and I understood, is very funny, because I am this. Again, I'm not sure how it happened, but maybe it was because I grew up in the internet, you know, where nobody knows you're a dog. I had the world at my fingertips, almost literally, and on the internet, I am not this. I am as white as a piece of e-paper. I am a blank slate, I am anonymous, and I loved it. But I didn't want to be like the 21st century Asian woman version of these great white men.
No, that felt like a step down, like a consolation prize. I wanted to go back in time and really be these great men, as ridiculous as it was. So I tried to find some sort of link between my favourite great white men of history to try and find the secret to legacy and glory and immortality. But it seems like all they had in common was being born about 200 years ago in Europe as a white man to families wealthy enough to afford them a good education, and I didn't know how to do that.
And that is an excerpt of How to Be a Great White Man. It is going to be at the Basement Theatre Studio this coming Wednesday, April 17th, 8:30 p.m. We are sold out, so please, if you were interested and feel like you're going to get lucky, put yourself on the waiting list and be there in person, and good luck.
And if people want to support Fresh Off the Page, if they want to see future
Works, follow Proudly Asian Theatre Company. We have a website and we're also on Facebook. Otherwise, you can also look at us through Basement Theatre.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in, both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And Ahi, can you please give us the details to Short and Sweet and Collywood?
Cool. So Collywood Extra is on the 4th of May between the times of 12 to 6. It's a durational show, so you can come and go whenever. If it is wet weather, then the alternative date is the 11th of May. And if it rains on the 11th of May, I don't even know what the other backup date is, but it will be amazing. Collywood Extra, 4th of May, Sandringham Reserve on the 4th of May. And Short and Sweet, submissions are open. They close on the 10th of June. So you've got till now to 10th of June to get submissions in, to get involved if you want to be an actor, writer, director, dancer, producer, any way involved. And the season is in September. But I'll be back again to plug the season, I reckon.
Cool. So, fantastic. Yeah. We'd love to have you. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your year.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you.
Literally, your year.
Is it a year of the ahi? That is it.
Year of... I just say year of ahi.
Okay.
Yeah, nice.
There's century of ahi. I don't know.
Cool.
This ego is growing. Stop feeding it. Don't, bad.
So it's going to be the dual year.
Hey, shout out to Eni. Thanks for joining me the last couple of weeks. This is our third show in a row together, and we're pretty much a couple now.
Yeah. So did you book the church?
Does it have to be in the church?
No, but I'm desecrated church, like that.
Cool. All right, well, next week we'll give the details for that in case any listeners want to come.
Love and invite, yeah.
And if anybody... next week can't listen to the show but still wants to listen to the show, that show, just like this show, will be available 5 minutes following the show. I thought that was going to be really smooth, and then I just said show way too many times. But what I'm saying is there's a podcast and it's going to be available soon. If you want to come in and talk to us about something that you are involved in the arts community, we would love to have you on. Just send Marianne a message at kickarts1@gmail.com, or otherwise send us a message on our Facebook, Kickarts. We would love to have you on.
Yeah, I'm super friendly, guys. Yes. Just hit me up.
She's amazing.
Thanks everyone for coming on. What a fun show.
What a great show.
This has been Kickarts. I've been Georgia. Remember this week to go out there and kick some arts.